Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vinati Organics Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal the operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Archit Joshi from Batlivala & Karani Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Robin. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all for the 3Q FY24 earnings conference call of Vinati Organics Limited. We thank the management for this opportunity to host their call, and we welcome Mrs. Sunithi Sarda, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. N.K. Goyal, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Kaviraj Devraj, Vice President, Corporate Finance. Without further ado, I'd like to hand over the call to Vinati ma'am for her opening remarks, post which we can have questions and answers. Over to you, ma'am. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the results conference call. I'll first give a brief view of the financial performance for the quarter. During this quarter, NCLT sanctioned the scheme of amalgamation with Viral Additives Private Limited into Vinati Organics with effect from 1st April 2021. Accordingly, the comparative financial results and other financial information for the quarter year-to-date, as well as the year ending March 31st, 2023, have been restated, taking into account the full effect of the merger. Now coming to the Q3 FY24 results, on a merged basis, the total income for the quarter is about rupees 457 crores as against 473 crores during 30th September 2023, registering a 4% decline, while the EBITDA increased by 7% to about 124 crores from 115 crores. Again, as compared to the second quarter, there was a 6% increase in profit after tax from 72 crores to 77 crores. The EBITDA margin has also improved from about 24% to 27% in Q3 of this financial year. Now I'll give you a brief on the operational performance and the current business environment. We expect Q4 numbers to slightly improve over Q3 or be in similar lines. I had mentioned about the destocking effect in the overall sales as well as in ATBS, which I believe now is almost over. We are seeing sales of most products, including ATBS, seeing pickup. Looking at this, I expect the demand to normalize in the coming months. Similarly, the butylphenol business has also scaled up well and delivered decent growth this year, and we expect the momentum to continue next year as well. As you might know, we make four types of butylphenols. The monobutylphenols are used in the fragrance industry as well as the resin industry. The dibutylphenols will now be used mostly captively in Viral Additives to make the antioxidants. The sales of IBB has also picked up starting the last quarter, and next year we are expecting to do higher numbers in IBB as compared to this financial year. Isobutylene, as well as the high-purity NTB, continues to remain stable along with our basket of customized products, the niche products. They all remain steady. Overall, these customized products have scaled up well in the last couple of years to almost double from 75 to 150 crores. We also commissioned the Orthosec butylphenol as well as the Dicyc butylphenol plant in this quarter. These products find application in agrochemicals, polystyrene, perfumery. The DSBP is used in surfactants as well as in liquid dyes. We are the only manufacturer of OSBP and DSBP in India and expect about 80 crores revenue at full capacity. Now coming to the antioxidant business, in this financial year, the sales from antioxidants, we make five types of AOs. The phenolic ones are the 1010, 1076, as well as 135. The phosphite one is 168. We also make 1098. They are used in different applications in polypropylene, as well as plastics, lube additives, and the nylon industry. This year, the revenue from this business will be about 100 to 120 crores, which is at 25% capacity utilization. The antioxidant market world over is going through weakness in demand for the last 15 to 18 months. In spite of this muted scenario, we have been able to make a meaningful penetration in the market. This reflects well on our inherent strength in this business on account of synergies accruing due to the double backward integration. We are focused on optimizing our efficiency and ramping up sales in the coming months in antioxidants, and we expect this business to be a growth driver for our company as the demand normalizes. We expect to reach full capacity utilization in the next 2 to 3 years. We supply these AOs both in the domestic as well as the export market. We are also actively working on adding more antioxidants to our portfolio. The long-term outlook remains positive. Now coming to VOPL, Viral Organics Private Limited, which is a 100% owned subsidiary, a setup for manufacturing niche specialty chemicals. We have lined up a total capex of approximately 480 crores, mainly consisting of products MEHQ, Guaiacol, 4-methoxyacetophenone, isoamylene derivatives, as well as inifanazole. These products are used as polymerization inhibitors, pharmaceuticals, fragrances, personal care. The MEHQ Guaiacol plant is expected to be commissioned first by March of 2024. The other products will be commissioned during the second half of FY25. Our long-term view on ATDS remains unchanged, and the ATDS expansion is expected to be completed by December 2024. With sustainability being a core part of our value proposition, we had commissioned about 15 megawatts of solar power plant during fiscal year 23. Then we added another 11 megawatts this year in FY24, and we will be adding another 7 megawatts in the first quarter of FY25. This will further help us in reducing emissions and also help us in reducing the energy dependence on non-renewable sources. We expect our revenue to have about 15 to 20% CAGR over the next 3 years, growth coming mainly from antioxidants, the new products in VOPL, as well as growing demand in ATDS. That's all from my side. Thank you so much, and we are now open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Surya Patra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, ma'am, and congratulations to have achieved the amalgamation of Viral Additives also. My first question is on the margin, gross margin post the amalgamation. So, in fact, considering the fact that Viral Additives is a forward integrated operation of butylphenols, so on amalgamation, the understanding was that would have added at least positively to the gross margin of the consolidated entity. But the comparative numbers, if we see, it looks like that the gross margin has to some extent impacted. So could you please clarify?
See, let me explain two, three things. Now, prior to the merger, till September 23, we had invested 300 crores in Viral Additives. Okay. Now, before when the company were two separate entities, this 300 crores was booked as a loan in Vinati Organics. So I was also adding interest payment towards that loan from Viral Additives. So that entire amount of 32 crores gets knocked off in the last 2 years of interest income which we were accruing in Vinati Organics. Secondly, the depreciation of, because now the assets are owned, so that the whole loan gets knocked off. Secondly, the depreciation on account of Viral Additives is also adding to about 15 crores per year. That also impacts. Thirdly, the sales of butyl phenols which we were supplying to Viral Additives was booked at market value in Vinati Organics.
Yeah.
Right, but now that gets knocked off because it becomes an inter-unit transfer and now Viral Additives becomes a captive unit. Finally, you must take into account that Viral Additives right now is running only at 25% capacity and the run rate is the sales are increasing month on month. So eventually, this firm, being value, diluting it, we hope for it to become value accretive in the next 6 months or so.
Okay. Ma'am, just one more query to this. Likewise in case of ATBS, in the manufacturing process of antioxidants, is there a scope of cost optimization through recovery process? Whether anything of that sort is possible going ahead, if not now?
See, we are investing in a cogeneration power unit, which will reduce our cost of manufacturing in viral additives. Now in the antioxidant business. Also, we are adding more. We are working on adding more AOs to our basket, which will not require additional capex. So that will again lead to our fixed expenses getting spread over a higher volume and higher capacity utilization.
Okay. Just for the quarter-specific query, ma'am, could you share what is the revenue mix for this quarter in terms of at least
sure.
ATBS, IBB?
Sure. Yes. Sure. So ATBS this quarter was about 30%. IBB was 20%. Butyl phenols and IB derivatives were 20%. Then isobutylene was about 10% and antioxidant and other products combined would be another 20%.
Okay. And here the new product would be captured under which category, ma'am, then? The new customized product, I mean.
Yes, correct. That will come in the other products, which I said, the AO and the other customized products.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and just one question from my side, ma'am. We have been anticipating that antioxidant revenue in the second half of the current financial year could be in the range of around 100 crore.
No. This 120 crores will be the antioxidant revenue in this entire financial year, FY24. Then next year, I expect this revenue to double. From 120 to about 250 crores.
Okay. So now at least again on the base business front, so when we compare the amalgamated number top line for this quarter versus the revenue number reported in the previous quarter without amalgamation, there is no change practically. So also the VAPL number, whatever that has been added, but still, so that means there is a sequential decline that is what we are witnessing. Is it because of any particular segment underperforming sequentially or seeing any pricing pressure or any kind of volume listing?
Yeah, so the pricing, raw material prices have been declining Q on Q and so the product prices have been declining and that is why you see a slight improvement in the margins also.
Okay. Sure, ma'am. Yeah, thank you. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my questions. First one was just with regard to the revenue mix. While you know you kindly gave us the 3 month numbers, is it possible to share the year to date numbers as well in terms of product?
Actually, the 9 months numbers are very similar. You know, maybe slightly like ATBS instead of 30% is 32 and IBB is 18%. But butyl phenols, IB, antioxidant, customizer, more or less the same as this quarter.
Okay, understood. The second one was just with regard to the amalgamation itself. So in terms of the gross block addition on the balance sheet, would it be somewhere in the ballpark of 300 crores? Is that the number
that's
we should work with?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
See, earlier that was as a loan in DOL, and now that becomes the assets that we are getting from Real Additives.
Yes, sure. And the half-yearly balance sheet for September had shown, you know, some reduction in CWIP. So was that basically related to this OSBP and DSBP commissioning?
Yes, that's right.
Understood. And last thing from my side is with regard to the commissioning timeline for the new projects. I'm sorry, I didn't catch which plant comes up first by March
2024. Sure. The MEHQ and Guaycol plant comes up first in March, and the others will come up in, you know, in the second half of this financial year, between, say, around December.
So in the initial phases, we'll be buying anisole from outside and making
that's
MEHQ?
Right. Yes, that's right.
Okay. Any sort of comment on the margin profile of these projects, ma'am, given the fact that, you know, the initial years utilization might be a bit on
the... So the total capex for these projects is about 480 crores, which includes all the basket of these entire 5-6 products. And I expect ROI to be in the range of 15 to 20%. And similarly, because the revenue potential also on a blended level is 1:1, you know, the asset turnover on these projects. So one can assume, again, a blended margin of around 20% or so.
Okay, got it. And finally, on ATBS, while you spoke about the market recovery, any signs of new competition that might be starting to sort of make inroads into the market there?
See, for ATBS, we have not lost market share mainly because of our long-term contracts that we have in place with our customers, which we've had for the last 15 to 20 years. So, as the demand is recovering, as the destocking effect is coming to an end, I'm seeing a good pickup in ATBS sales starting this month, rather. So, I'll be able to give you a better picture next quarter.
Got it. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Participants, you are requested to please press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Nataraj Shankar from TSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Two questions. One is on the last comment that you made about the changing scenario in terms of destocking. Obviously, as the quarter unfolds, you'll be able to get a better color. What is the level of confidence that that part is in the final legs? That's one. And secondly, the 20% growth assumptions over the next 3 years is based on what kind of macro variables that is assumed in that growth. Thanks.
Sure. You know, see, now if our customers are, you know, it's coming, the confidence in ATBS pickup is mainly coming from what our customers are indicating. And to be honest, if they were sitting on 9 months in inventory or 1 year inventory, at some point that inventory has to end. I think based on the demand outlook as well as the order book, you will see recovery, if not from Feb, March, definitely from April. As far as the 15 to 20% overall growth numbers for the next 3 years, they're coming mainly on account of higher capacity utilization in the antioxidant business. We are a new player, new entrant in that business. We are working towards getting our product approved. We are the only significant Indian manufacturer of antioxidant, and there's a good domestic demand for this product. In India, there's a good demand in Middle East, and we are best placed to service that demand. So I'm taking into account higher utilization of antioxidants as well as butyl phenols, and ATBS picking up this year. You know, for example, just in FY25, I expect ATBS to be at least 30% higher than what it was in FY24. Similarly, IBB was also a bit muted in FY24, and I based on the indications from the customer, I think FY25 will be slightly better for IBB as well.
Okay, and lastly, in the longer term normalized operating margin, if there is a guidance on that, that will be helpful.
I think on a blended level, EBITDA margins of 25 to 27% is what is sustainable.
Got it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dara from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, now audible?
Yes.
So you have alluded earlier to a 10,000 ton of demand for the Indian market for additive business. So we have a 24,000 ton capacity, as I understand. So we do have an opportunity to export. So where are we in terms of customer validation, or do we have any pipeline for a contract, long-term contract, and how competitive are we in this space, given that there are already established players in the market?
Sure. So actually, the demand for antioxidants in India itself is around 12 to 14,000 metric tons. Now, we expect to service, say, only about 60% of that or 70%. So you are right. My target out of the 24,000 tons is to sell about 8,000 tons domestically, and 16,000 tons is for the export market. Now, there are antioxidant business. Our product basket has an upstream application in polypropylene where the approvals take longer and takes time. But then there is a downstream demand used in plastics and master batches where the approvals are not so long. And there we have distributors where the customer, you know, each customer size is smaller. So you typically have distributor agreements, which we have in place for different regions with different distributors. Coming to our cost effectiveness or how competitive we are, you know, one of the few AO manufacturer, maybe only the second AO manufacturer or only AO manufacturer, which is not only backward integrated into butyl phenols, but also in the isobutylene. So we are, this double backward integration gives us a lot of inherent strength and cost, makes us a competitive player globally.
So I have a follow-up here. Who is the other player that you are alluding to in the market for additives in India?
So there is a company called HPL, Hindustan Polyamides, based in the north. Now, I believe their total AO capacity is around 5,000 tons or something like that.
Okay. Then I have a second question on your MEHQ business. If you can share what sort of technology are we getting into for backward integrating to anisole, and what is the timeline for this project?
So MEHQ will be ready. We are making from anisole plus hydrogen peroxide. It will be ready in March. And then anisole we will be making from phenol. It will be phenol plus methanol. And that will be ready somewhere in the around December, January. Next year.
Around December, January next year.
Yeah. So December 24 or January 25.
Okay. Thanks. That answers all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the follow-up. Just on the new projects, for MEHQ and Guaiacol, which are getting commissioned first, in terms of total capacity, what number can you work with? Is it 3,000 tons per annum, both combined?
Yes, that's right. And you get about 2,000 tons MEHQ and 1,000 Guaiacol.
And right from the get-go, you know, in March 24, we expect to start with this level of capacity.
Well, again, no, again, into the first 2-3 months will go in stabilization of the plant, again, sample testing, product approvals, et cetera. So I wouldn't expect much sales coming in, at least in the first quarter, maybe even in the first 6 months. And then the sale ramp up happens, you know, 6 months post that.
Got it. And the other products in that basket, you know, isoamylene, 4-MAP, and I think these two. So those also come up in December along with the Anisol plant?
That's right. That's right.
And if you could please help us with the capacity over there as well, please, ma'am.
So the Anisol capacity is about 5,000 tons. The 4-MAP will be about 1,000 tons. The TCA and PTAP is total about 10,000 tons.
Okay, got it. Yeah, and just with regard to the, you know, there seems to have been a little bit of a delay in the timeline for commissioning of these projects, both these as well as the ATBS expansion. So is that primarily just market conditions or?
Yes, ATBS primarily because of the market. The other projects, there's not much delay in MEHQ, but the others may be just optimizing the process and longer lead times of the equipment.
Okay, okay. Understood. Thanks a lot, ma'am. All the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Amol Kotak from TechPro Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Munuti.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
What is the debt position for the company?
Or sir, sorry to interrupt, but the line for you is not clear.
Can you hear me now?
So it's not very clear, but please go ahead. We can try and understand.
1 second. Yeah. Is there any leverage position in the company?
No, there is. My CFO is saying there is no long-term debt and no working capital. So there is no debt on the books right now.
And for the entire consolidated entity, what is the capex we have done in the current year?
This year the capex we have.
TI is opening 140 and CWLT as of now is 190.
So this year the capex we've done is about 240 crores, 230 crores. Mm-hmm. 300 crores, sorry, my mistake. 300 crores we have done.
Okay, and what should be the capex for FY25?
That will be another 450 to 500 crores. Because that will include the balance on the EVS expansion as well as a VOPAL project product.
Okay, so just one point on the margin, your earlier guidance used to be around closer to 50%. In the current communication, you are saying that it's, you know, around anywhere between 25 to 27%.
Yeah, those margins were never sustainable. You know, that is, you come across those golden periods few times as a manufacturer in any manufacturing business. And I always have maintained that on a long-term basis, margins around 27% for any manufacturing business is a decent margin. Also, it's a function of raw material pricing. If raw material prices are low, the margins will look high. If input prices are high, then price is high, then the margins look low.
Right, yeah. So when we, the long-term guidance, basically this year we close it at somewhere around 2,200 crores revenue, and a 15-20% kind of a growth would probably take 3-400 down the line at 3,500 crores revenue, right? So just a ballpark number.
Your voice is not clear.
say your 15% to 20% revenue guidance over the next 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Should kind of take the revenues to closer to doubling in the next 4-5 years.
Yeah, that will take us to 3,000 crores, right? In 4-5 years. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Priyank Chedda from Valum Capital. Please go ahead.
Ma'am, what would be our utilization for ATBS over last 9 months, given that we have added capacity? So on an expanded capacity, what would be the utilization?
No, so the capacity has not yet been added. The new capacity will come in December. On the present capacity, we are running at in this 9 months at about 60-65%.
So the current capacity would be 60,000 tons, right? Or it would be 40,000?
No, it's 40,000 tons. Then after the expansion in December, it will become 60,000.
Got it. And on the industry dynamics, if you can help me, given the price corrections that we have seen for ATBS from as high as around $3-$3.5 to now around $2-$2.5, how does this demand scenario look for ATBS? And are there any other players who are adding any capacity in ATBS?
Well, I don't think the price correction is as drastic as you are suggesting it to be. The $3.8 of ATBS, there were a lot of reasons. One was increased RMC prices, increased freight costs. All this has come down. And so I would say the ATBS price now has, given all that, has come to somewhere in the range of 3.2, 3.3. Again, the rates are going up. This whatever is the present margin profile is what I'm expecting to remain, or taking in my assumptions over the next 1 year, 2 year, or 3 years.
And would there be any other capacity that is getting added by any other player?
Well, their players keep announcing their capacities, and you can do more research and find out. But I know we have not lost market share because we have log contracts with our customers in place. And you can maybe check their export data also and then get a more informed answer yourself.
And we have around 65% market share, ma'am. Is this correct? Is what historically
That's right.
And on the other projects, if you can help me on the utilizations for IBB and for isobutylene. Isobutylene, I suppose we are running at 100%. Does that continue?
Yeah.
So isobutylene is used a lot of it in captives for ATBS, for butyl phenols, as well as other derivatives, and we have expanded that capacity. IBB also we are running at about 65% this year capacity utilization.
Got it. And just to clarify,
sorry to interrupt, but in the interest of time, we will need to proceed. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Well, thank you everyone for joining this call. I appreciate your presence. Bye. Goodbye.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.